The night sky has been used for everything from navigation to romance. The motion of stars in the night has been the central focus for religions and mathematics, but for many Americans, looking up to the night sky presents a very different view than our ancestors enjoyed. Sky glow, or the intrusion of light pollution, is overtaking the stars. I'm speaking with a filmmaker and astrophotographer on his search for dark sky. Haran Mendinovic is on a quest to document the remaining dark skies of North America before light pollution removes all traces of the Milky Way in our normal night sky viewing. Haran, where did this idea originate?
I didn't really know about anything called light pollution. That was a new term for me, I guess a new phrase, or another way of calling it a sky glow, till about maybe 3-4 years ago. That I actually heard this spoken by somebody. My involvement as far as the stars go, it's really something I kind of fell in love with as a kid. That's many, many, many thousands of miles away in Bosnia, right? And specifically in very rural Bosnia, because there's actually hardly any visibility left anywhere in Europe. So you have to go to very few places that are left over then where you're actually able to see something like the Milky Way. And I hadn't seen it as a kid because I wasn't able to. I was able to see the stars, and that was something I was able to when you leave the city, but you couldn't see everything because we were already pretty much destroyed Europe when it comes to visibility. So when I came to U.S. and I was kicking around different cities, first time I actually was able to see the Milky Way was in the Southwest when I was driving through, and it's kind of overwhelming when you step out of your car at some point to take a break and you look up and you see pretty much everything. It feels like it's everything out there, although it isn't. Clearly, it was kind of a shock because it was more than I've ever seen, but I do remember it as a kid. I do remember really, really appreciating the night sky. So when I saw that, it just got me thinking a little bit, wait a second, I haven't been seeing any of that anywhere near any cities. Didn't really enter my perspective at all until those sort of cross-country trips. Then I started studying about it a little bit, trying to understand what was exactly happening. And really kind of the conclusion of it all was that we pretty much as people use so much light that we point upwards when we set up our lighting systems, be it street lights or our house lights, we tend to use fixtures which allow a lot of light to escape basically into the universe, and it bounces around everything that's up there, whether that be oxygen or dust or whatever it is in a particular place. Here, humidity, obviously, and you have a lot of haze that sort of builds up into the skies, and all that reflects light back down. So that's pretty much what's taken away stars everywhere, anywhere near any urban areas. When you have electrical light, in this day and age, it's LEDs, meaning they're white colored rather than yellow. Lights used to be sodium vapor mostly, so that was very sort of yellow light that was out in the streets. Now they've changed it to this, what looks like white light. It's actually blue light that we have, and that's pretty much done away with the skies in most places. I mean, whatever you could have seen before, now you pretty much can't see anything because the color that you use for light is the same color as the stars, pretty much. It's similar light temperature, meaning it's going to wash them out even more. So you can hardly see them now anywhere. And actually on the East Coast, I think there's literally 7 spots. I mean, and when I say spots, I mean maybe a mile, 2-3 mile radius. It's tiny. Of all of East Coast where you can actually see the Milky Way. And it just happens that a couple of those are alongside the Blue Ridge Mountains. There's also some in Outer Banks on the islands, right? Because that's, we can get away enough from light. Something like Assateague in Maryland and the very, very, very south of the Keys in Florida. And then you have to go all the way to the north of Maine, like Acadia or beyond. And when you look at the East Coast, whatever is left over the night sky of the East Coast, most of it is going to disappear because as the towns grow around those places, eventually, all those places are pretty much going to lose their night skies, except for the islands, which are just protected by the nature that they're an island and a preserve somewhere. The East Coast National Parks, which are really the only entity that actively fights to preserve its dark skies, it can really do only so much because they're really in stretches, small sort of patches of national parks on the East Coast. It's very different than the West Coast, where you have these giant areas taken up, like Death Valley is practically as big as some states in the East. And it's just one national park. So they're able to preserve their dark skies in a way that the East Coast can't really do that. I thought this would be an important project to take on in some way, some shape, some form. And obviously I come from the visual arts background. So to me, astrophotography became a very logical way to tackle it, because when you're shooting the night skies, you're pretty much showing something that most people can't see really anymore. So just by photographing it, you're already kind of well on your way to get people to come to a realization of what's happening a little bit. I think most people in the cities, they've never seen the Milky Way. I think the statistic is something like 80% of people on the planet live in some sort of an urban center. There's so few people living in villages anymore. But even those living in villages are actually utilizing light. So chances are they're not quite seeing things the way they used to. Me and a partner of mine, Gavin, who are working together on it, we decided to do a book which would incorporate images, but also some stories and essays and all that sort of stuff that as it relates to this. And it's things like human relationship with stars through time, because humans have had a long one, and it's rooted in religion and in sciences. It's rooted in things like archaeoastronomy, where you have buildings which we used to build according to the stars or according to the sun as well, the solstices. And there's actually some of those in the United States for those interested. You can go to the Southwest and actually find some of these ancient buildings in places like Mesa Verde in Colorado. But it's interesting to research those cultures, and you'll come to an understanding that they were a bit nature worshippers, and to them, night sky was a really important element in it all, because they understood they're in this much larger place. We're in a tiny little planet in a giant place. Universe is gigantic. We have no idea to comprehend how big it is. So nighttime observation was important to them. You'll hear this phrase, the great mystery, and the Native Americans refer to the skies, and they wouldn't be who they are if you took those away. I mean, it's just we wouldn't be where we are, because we needed them in order to actually create the civilization, in order to actually sail across an ocean, you need the stars. I mean, there's just this importance of stars constantly, but then suddenly we don't have them. And since you don't have them, you're not discussing them, and since you're not discussing them, you're actually removed from nature in another sort of layer, among other many other ones that we're contending with, because we're constantly being further and further removed from it. As if somehow magically we don't have a place there. You know, it's just a matter of time before it reminds us, so to say, that we do have a place. But to me, this was an important one, just spiritually, if you will.
If you look throughout recorded history of man, the stars played an important role in every mythology, all religions, every single one of them included the stars in some form or another. And now we send, like, the Hubble out there to photograph the stars because we don't bother looking up now because there's nothing to see.
Right. I was going to say, people saved the Hubble because when they were going to shut Hubble down, I think it was basically, like, public outreach that saved this thing, because even the scientists were basically losing purpose of it at that point, because they were having so many other issues, because a lot of funding is being cut in astronomy in general. So to them, Hubble was a luxury at this point. But it wasn't for the people, because people's interest always is visual. I mean, it just happens to be very visual. We look up and we see, or I think that tells you the importance of astrophotography. You're kind of doing a bit of activism just by photographing, because just by showing it, you're telling people, hey, there's this thing, but you can't see it, you know, and you have to not think about it. Where can we go to see this? And there's very few places left. So to me, it was a bit of a no-brainer, and I tend to do a lot of time-lapse at this point as well. And that's a very interesting way of showing movement of stars at night, which does also ground you. When you come to realization that Earth is spinning, and it gives you this much stronger sense of place.
Currently, you can go out to sea. But even on a cruise ship, you're going to have some ambient light around you. So what you think you see is really still just a portion of what's out there. And going out into the high desert, like Death Valley or something like that, you're still going to have some sky glow or light pollution, because you're just never that far away from civilization.
When it comes to actual finding spots of dark skies, there's really relatively few in the United States. And there's been people that have measured levels of light in the sky, and there's quite a bit of maps out there you can track down with some really precise spots. It tells you pretty much this is where there may be some actual true darkness. And actually the best spot in all of the United States, and it's actually astoundingly dark, given that we live in this extremely illuminated society, but it's called Natural Bridges in Utah. So it's a tiny little national monument. But when they measured light there, they found that the brightest thing in the sky was the Milky Way, which was just mind-blowing to them. It's a combination of no cities near it and clarity in the sky. It just happens to be in a very high elevation in the Colorado Plateau at a place that's very, very dry, doesn't have a lot of rain, doesn't have any haze practically. The weather makes it a perfect spot. They made it a point to keep this place extremely dark. And at night, you can pretty much see everything. So there's still a few places, and I would probably recommend to people, if they want to go out and see the dark skies, to really look at the Colorado Plateau in particular, meaning the four corners there in Colorado, Utah, New Mexico, and Arizona. A few places there are just perfect for it. And the reason is really the NPS. It's the national parks that have made it a point to cut all the light at their park that they can. They've also sort of strung up all those parks one next to the other in southern Utah. So there's practically no towns or cities there. And when there are, they generally have to abide by lighting regulations, meaning they can only have very little light in their city. Now there's about 10 cities around the world which have become what you call dark sky cities, and that just means, not that they don't have any light, it means they have a lighting code. And lighting code means it's a certain kind of light and it's pointed down, not everywhere. That'll preserve that sort of dark sky in that area.
What is the nearest place to go? Now, there wouldn't be a pure dark sky, but what's the nearest you can get?
I think the nearest, when it comes to the Blue Ridge Range in particular, is if you go up to Green Bank, West Virginia, that's probably going to be your best bet for some real clarity in the sky. You can absolutely see the Milky Way up there. You just need a clear night. You can't have any clouds up there. You can't have haze and any of these things. So winter would be a good time. Not like middle of the winter, but closer to winter, I should say. So something like around October.
You're going to be doing time-lapse photography and other astrophotography. And then you're going to publish a book. How long do you think it's going to take you to gather the contents for your book?
We're planning to go to quite a bit of places, so that'll be the challenge of it. East Coast was important to us because East Coast is the world's prime example of dark sky going away, because there's so much light pollution that whatever we photograph today, it's going to just be worse in 10 years. So it's just kind of fleeting thing in East Coast. Then obviously we want to go to the darkest places as well in the United States. And there I think you get a sense of what people have done in order to preserve it. And these are the people that were aware of the importance and fought for a long time for that to be the case. I mean, national parks have been around, what, 150 years now? I don't think they've had a night sky program until like 10 years ago. Even they, which are basically entrusted in worrying about stuff like that, they weren't really concerned about it too much. They did not have an active office fighting for that stuff until through a series of things they've come to some realizations that basically when you're trying to preserve nature, how can you not count night sky as something to preserve?
In some of the northern climes, you have SAD, seasonal affect disorder, where when it's dark for a long time, it affects a person emotionally, even physiologically. There is a response to constant dark. Do you see a flip side of that, where there is a response to us very physically and emotionally to a lack of that dark, to a constant light?
There hasn't been enough study out there, as far as the health studies, to fully grasp what it means not to have any darkness, because we live at this point in a world that practically has no darkness anymore for most of us. So we can't answer even fully what it really means, because it has not been studied yet. But what has been studied has been very telling, which is that one thing that we might not understand as people is that our whole body perceives light. It's not just our eyes. We think of it as we open our eyes and we see light. Actually, the whole body does. Basically, your skin senses light. And really, over time, we've been adjusted to sleep a certain amount of hours at night. That's a natural process. And as you do that, body goes through several stages, including cleaning itself, basically, a kind of detoxing at night and healing and all these other things, which don't take place if there's light hitting your body. It just keeps perceiving it as daytime, and it's waiting for the night, and night never comes. But probably more drastic example would be that we can absolutely observe is nocturnal animals. They lost, like so many species of birds, that are nocturnal birds, because they just got lost, and they were smacking into buildings, basically, or they were just staying in a city. They just didn't know where to go. They were confused. Down in Florida, they'll tell you one of the issues they have is they keep driving turtles over with their cars. So many end up walking on the roads. That's actually not a natural pattern for a turtle. They tend to live out near water. But because the city lights confuse them, they tend to associate lights at night with shimmer of the water. So they go to where that is, but they end up actually just walking in the street and get driven over quite a bit. But that's just one of those things where we've introduced permanent light into a place where there's quite a bit of species which depend on the dark. In fact, they depend to survive in the dark because that's where they hide from predators and all that sort of stuff. That's kind of natural patterns of life. So we will alter that. And the more we alter it, the more you're basically doing away with nocturnal animals. They'll be just done for pretty much at some point. There's just so many of them, they're going away. I think the health impact on us will be probably studied much more in the future. I think the more you lose the dark sky, and at this point you're practically going to lose it entirely on the East Coast, there will be more attention paid to this.
You can learn more about SkyGlow and the impact of light pollution through the International Dark Sky Association online at darksky.org. For WUTC's Around and About, this is Rabbit.